Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kufches, and we are at the Mishnah, 9 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Zayin Amid Beis Ha'imer L'Chaveiro. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael Hanasuna Batzar V'Shivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. So we're holding at the very last Mishnah of Perek Beis Kor, which is going to segue into the next perek, a perek that is Golui V'Yodua. It's Mefursim in Koisle Beis Medrash as one of the prokim with the Hei Ayedia in Shas, Perek Yesh Neuchlin. Either way, we have a lot to get to. We have to finish Beis Kor. We have to do a little bit of an introduction to Yesh Neuchlin. We have to learn a daf and change of Yesh Neuchlin, and hopefully get to a little bit of raid as well. Either way, Zok Deilig Mishnah, if somebody goes over to his friend and he tells him, Chatzi Sadeh Ani Meichelach, I own a field and I want to sell to you half of the field. So he didn't tell him which half of the field he's selling. All he said was, I'm going to sell you half of this field. So the Mishnah says, very cryptically, Mishamnin Beinehem. What does that mean? It will be a subject of dispute in the Gemara, the Neutel Chatzi Sodeo. So being that the Meicher said Chatzi Soda Ani Meicherlach, at the end of the day, he's going to have to give him half the field. Which half of the field? Says the Mishnah Mishamnin Beinei. Okay. Chetzia Bidorim Ani Meicherlach. What if he tells him, I'm going to give you the southern half of the field. Again, Mishamnin Beineim, whatever that means. The Neutel Chatzi Bidorim. And this buyer gets the half a field that's in Dorim. Additionally, Zok the Mishnah, when somebody sells someone half of a field, for whom mekabel olav, the moicher has to take upon himself makam hageder, the place where the fence is going to be, charitz, the place where the wide ditch is going to be, uben charitz, and the place where the narrow ditch is going to be. So every field was surrounded by a fence, a wider ditch, and a narrower ditch. Ordinarily, if somebody sells somebody a field, so the buyer bought the field, the whole field, nothing other than the whole field. So there's no reason to have a conversation. Do I have the makam hageder? Do I not have the makam hageder? Do I have the charitz and the ben charitz, or do I not? You have the whole field. So if it's part of the field, you have it. If not, not. Here in our Mishnah, it's a little tricky because you're only selling half of the field. So the question is, the half of field that you're getting, is it all field, which means in addition to that, the seller has to provide a little bit of extra space for the geder, for the charitz and the ben charitz, or not? Says the Mishnah that the moicher has to, in addition to half the field, give the place for the geder, place for the charitz, and place for the ben charitz. So we said a charitz is a wide ditch, a ben charitz is a narrow ditch. Says the Mishnah, v'kamahu charitz, how wide is the wider ditch? Shisha tfachim, it's 6 tfachim. Uben charitz, how narrow is the narrower ditch? Ditch, Shloisha, it's 3 tvachim. The way the Rashbam explains it, these ditches went along the entire length of the field. So they literally surround the field. Just like the fence surrounds the field, these ditches also surround the field. So the length of the charitz is the equivalent of the length of the borders of the field. In terms of how wide they are, so the wider one is 6 tvachim, and the narrow one is 3 tefachim. Either way, the Mishnah said, if somebody tells his friend, Chatzi Sadani Meichelach, Mishamnim Beineim, Benoitel Chatzi Sodeo. The Mishnah doesn't just say, Noitel Chatzi Sodeo. The Mishnah says, Mishamnim Beineim. Then the Mishnah says, if the seller tells the buyer, Chatzi Bedarim Ani Meichelach, here he's even being more specific, I'm selling you the southern half of the field. There too, you have the same idea of Mishamnim Beineim, Benoitel Chatzi Bedarim. So the question is going to be, it's the first 5 lines of Gemara, what does Mishamnim Beineim mean? And we'll see, it's a machlokes amayram, Rab Chiya bar Abba and Rab Yochanan. Omer Rab Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rab Yochanan. Rab Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rab Yochanan, Loikeach Noitel Kochush Shabbai. So Rab Chiya bar Abba said, I was mekabel from my Rebbe, Rab Yochanan. The Rab Yochanan said that the way the chalukah of the Mishnah works is that the buyer and the seller divide the field not based on square footage, but based on value. That's number one. Number two, the seller gets to decide which half he's going to end up wanting. In other words, lekeach noitel kachashabai. If the moicher wants, he can force the lekeach to take the ziburis, the weakest, the schwachste part of the field, as long as in square footage it's going to be the equivalent to the idias that the seller is going to end up taking. So the way the field is divided is, number one, not based on square footage. You take 50 yards and I take 50 yards. No, it's based on value. Additionally, the meicher is the other al yoyna. In other words, lekech is neitel kachu shabbat. So this is what Reb Chiya Bar Abba said. He was mekabel from Yochanan, and that pshat is somehow going to be, as we'll see in the Gemara, retrofitted into the words mishamnin beineim. But amalei Reb Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, Reb Chiya Bar Abba told Rabbi Yochanan, v'anan mishamnin beineim tanan. I don't know, the Mishnah says mishamnin beineim, and if the Mishnah says mishamnin beineim, it sounds to me that that's not the way you divide it, but rather the way you have to divide it is 100% equally. In other words, the Moichah can't say, I'm taking the idias, you lekeach, take the kachos, you take the ziburas. You have to divide the idias and you have to divide the ziburas. Now, the Rashbam says, where did Reb Chiya Bar Abba see that in the words Mishamnin Beineim? Mishamnin is Miloshin Shumen. What's Shumen? Vayishman Yeshurin. It's the Shenstin, the Besta. It's the idias. Mishamnin Beineim sounds like we take the Shumen and we divide it. I take part of the Shumen, you take part of the Shumen. The way you, Rabbi Yochanan, are explaining it, says Reb Chiya Bar Abba, the Moicha can take the whole Shumen and he can leave the Loikeach with the kachush. Says kasha to him was that I understand what you're saying maybe is reasonable in Lumbus, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says Mishamnin Beineim, and Mishamnin Beineim sounds like we divide the Shumen, we divide the idias equally. Meaning it sounds like I take half the Shumen, you take half the Shumen, I take half the Beinus, you take half the Beinus, I take half the Ziburus, you take half the Ziburus. Amaleis, Rabbi Yechiel told Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba rather sharply. He said, Ada Achlis Kafnaisa Bebavel, while you were busy eating Kafnaisa, you were eating dates in Bavel, Targimna Misefa, we were harvesting and learning in Eretz Yisrael, and we proved that the pshat is not what you're saying from the seifa of the Mishnah. The Ketani seifa, the seifa of the Mishnah says, Chetzi b'dar mani moichalach. If the seller tells the buyer, I'm selling you half the field, but he doesn't just say it in an open-ended way. He says, I'm selling you the southern half of the field. Mishamnin beineim, the same lashon, v'noitel chetzi b'darim. And the halach is that the buyer ends up taking the southern half of the field. V'amai, said Rabbi Yechiel, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I don't understand. Why are you dividing all the shumen and all the beininess and all the ziburis? Meaning, why is it that Mishamnin Beineim? The way you understand Mishamnin Beineim, V'chetzia B'darim Amalei, he told him specifically Chetzia B'darim. So in this case, for sure he should be taking the half of Darim. Meaning, Reb Chiya Bar Abba understood Mishamnin Beineim, we divide all the idias. Okay, so if I tell you I'm selling you half the field, maybe that's the way you do it. But in the Sefer he said, I'm selling you the southern half of the field. So what's the Mishamnin Beineim? You get the southern half, I get the northern half. You're coming with such a simple understanding of Mishamnin Beineim, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, I hear it in the Reisha, you're saying good. In the Pshutai Shal Mikra of the Reisha, the Mishnah, you're saying very good. But how are you going to understand the Sefer? Ella must be in the Sefer, there's a Knech over here. What's the Knech? Lidme. It must be that the way we value this is based on the money. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yochanan said, obviously what the Sefer, the Mishnah is saying is, and now this is a Chiddush, but Rabbi Yochanan says, I have no other way to understand the Mishnah. The Sefer must be saying that we figure out what the value of the Chetzir Shebedarim is, and now the Moicher needs to provide to the Loikeach land that is equal to the value of the Chetzir Shebedarim. But he doesn't have to physically give him the Chetzir Shebedarim. He can give him any piece of land that he wants. He can make sure that what he's giving him is the Kachosh, because he's going to end up keeping the Idias for himself. But the point is that it's not that the buyer takes the Chetzir Shebedarim, because then what's Mishamnin Beineim? Rather, what it means is we figure out what the value of the Chetzir Shebedarim is, and the Moicher has now an obligation to give the buyer that value, but not from Darim per se, from any part of the land that he wants. That's what the Sefer means, and if that's what the Sefer means, Hachanami L'dmei, that's probably what the Reisha means as well. That the Moicher makes this evaluation, comes up with how much he has to give the buyer, and then he can pick and choose and give from wherever he wants. So Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I agree with your understanding of Mishamnin Beineim, it's more glatt in the Reisha of the Mishnah, but the Sefer then, Mishamnin Beineim, has no Havana. Because if what you're saying is, just divide the idias, then in the Sefer, what does it mean, divide the idias? Elamai, there's a Knech over here, and the Knech is Lidme, you're giving value to the buyer that equals the Dmei. In the Reisha, equal to half the field. The Sefer equal to the southern half of the field. But at the end of the day, what's happening here is Lidmei, that throws off the Pshutei Shal Mikra Misham Deminayim, and as a result, I think my Havana of the Mishnah actually is more Matim in lieu of the Sefer. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what does Misham Deminayim mean? Just the Taich. According to Rabbi Rabba, in the Reisha anyways, we know what Misham Deminayim means. What it means is, you take the Shomin and you cut it in half. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what does it mean? So it's a Machloikis Rishonim. If you look at the Rashbam says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the word Mishamdin is Miloshim Shuma. Ayin Shami says the Pshat. But the simpler Pshat is what the Baal HaMor says. The Baal HaMor says that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Chiya Rabba, that Misham Deminayim is also Miloshim Shuman. But whereas Reb Chiya Bar Abba understood that Mishamnim Beinayim means that we take the Shumin and we divide it Beinayim, Rabbi Yochanan understood Mishamnim Beinayim means that they divide it and the difference between them, what's going to be Beinayim? This Mechitza Shel Barzel, that's going to be Mafsik Beinayim, is going to be the Shumin. Because the seller is going to end up taking the Shumin if he pleases, and the buyer is going to end up with the Kachosh. So does Beinayim mean together? Or does Beinayim mean it divides us? It's very, very different. According to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Mishamnim Beinayim means Tzazamin. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Mishamnim Beinayim means there's Shumin Beinayim in between them, because I have the Shumin and you have the Kachash. Either way, the Mishnah said that when somebody sells to somebody a half a field, so he has to provide the Mokam Hageder, the Charetz, and the Ben Charetz. So the Geder is the fence. He doesn't have to give him the fence, but he has to give him the place for there to be a fence. Additionally, the place for the wider ditch and a place for the narrower ditch. Says the Gemara, Tana, Charetz mibachotz, u Ben Charetz mibifnim, v'zeh v'zeh acheri Geder. So just in terms of understanding the Metzius, the Braisa clarified, and the Braisa said that both this Charetz and the Ben Charetz were on the other side of the Geder. Meaning, fence on the other side of the fence, not on the field side of the fence. Mibachutz. On the other side, you have the charetz and the ben charetz. The charetz is mibachutz, meaning it's farther away from the fence, and the ben charetz is mibefnim, it's closer to it. So if you want to visualize this, there's a field, there's a fence that surrounds the field. To the outside of the fence, there's this narrow ditch, and then to the outside of that, there's the wider ditch. Says the Braisa, continuing along, and the reason for all this was Kedesh Loitei Chaya Koifetzes. Meaning, why can't you just have a fence, right? Ordinarily, if you have a property and you want to protect the property, so you gate it, I don't know. You need ditches and wider ditches and narrower ditches. So says the Braisa, I'm going to tell you why. Because if all you would have is a fence, we're afraid that chayas are going to come. They're going to climb the fence and they're going to get into your field. Or at the very least, cause some problems with your fence. So kidesh loite chaya koifetzes. So it's for that reason that you have these two ditches that are right to the outside of the fence. So you have this moat right around your fence. Now it's really protected. It has a shmirah. Like this, the chayah won't be able to get in. Says the Gemara, v'lavit charitz, v'loy la'avit ben charitz. Why do you have to have two ditches, right? Balabata shakasha, but a good question nonetheless. Why do you have to have a big ditch and a small ditch? Just make the wider ditch, and you don't need this narrower ditch. So the bright Gemara says, because I did the ravach kaima begavei v'kafza, because that wide ditch was very wide. How wide was it? The Mishnah said it was 6 tfachim. 6 tfachim is an amma. It's big enough for an animal to be able to stand there and to launch and to be able to get to the fence from the ditch. Meaning the whole purpose of the ditch is to provide a little bit of a buffer. So the issue over here is that if the ditch is going to be so wide, so you're right, the ditch is a buffer for what's on the other side of the ditch, but the ditch itself is a problem because the animal's going to go into the ditch and it's going to launch from the ditch onto the gather, climb together, and it's going to get in. So what we do is we make a extra buffer. You need something in between the wide ditch and the fence. What is that? That's the narrow ditch. So the Gemara says, okay, but Levit ben Charetz, v'loy la'avit Charetz, and just make the narrow ditch. Narrow ditch sounds like it's too narrow to be able to launch from. It's a good buffer from what's going on the other side. So what's the issue? Gemara says, no, I did the cotton, kai mas vasiv kafza. The problem with the narrow ditch, it's too narrow. And because it's too narrow, How narrow is it? Three tvachim, the Mishnah said. So the animal's going to be on the other side of the ben charetz, and he's going to be able to jump onto the fence, and like this, he's going to be able to do his thing, says the Gemara. It's for that reason you had to have the wider ditch and the narrow ditch, right? How does it play itself out? The wider ditch adds a very healthy buffer between the other side of the wide ditch and the fence, so that you can't jump all the way across. Additionally, the narrow ditch is going to be a buffer between the space that's in the wide ditch and the fence. We have all our ditches and all our buffers, and like this, everything is going to be good. It says more of a kama ben charetz, ben charetz. How much space was there in between the charetz and the ben charetz? There was a tefach. Now, the reason there was a tefach, this is actually an important point, is because we don't want you to be able to stand in between the two ditches and be able to launch from there. So that is mamish, very, very narrow. And like this, hakol yovei amukayim b'shalom. And on that note, hadron aloch beiskor. Either way, moving along. Perek Yesh Neuchlin. So, Perek Yesh Neuchlin is a completely different topic. So, as much as we said about 100 times over the last 50 or so dafin, that the fourth perek, the fifth perek, the sixth perek, the seventh perek of Bava Basra are all one theme. Hamoicher Sabayis, Hamoicher Sasfina, Hamoicher Peres, Hamoicher Beis Kor, right? Even though the name of the perek is Beis Kor, but let's be honest, talks about Hamoicher Beis Kor. The next perek and the perek after that is a completely different topic. It talks about the laws of Neuchlin u'manchilin, Hilchas Nachlois, the laws of Yerusha, and really, it's going to start here on Daf Kufches, and it goes through Perek Misha Meis, which is the second to last Perek above Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Nuntes, so 50 Dafin. So Bava Basra is a long Mesechta, and really, it doesn't have that many Prakim. There's 10 Prakim in Bava Basra, right, as opposed to Masechta Shabbos, which has 24 prakim, right? So you have 10 prakim here in Bava Basra, 176 dafin, which means you have very, very long prakim. Yesh Neuchlin is one of those long prakim. It's a quote-unquote yeshiva shaperek. It's learned in yeshiva. The Gedolei HaRosh Yeshivas said shir on Perek Yesh Neuchlin. Incidentally, there's one of the new svarim for Reb Shmuel Yankiv on Bava Basra, has Reb Shmuel Yankiv's shirim that he gave on Yesh Neuchlin. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky gave shir on Yesh Neuchlin Ki Yodua. But the bottom line is that Yesh Neuchlin is an important perek from a halacha l'maisa l'yaleinu perspective, also a very, very lamdash perek. So just a little bit of an introduction. So again, the topic of Yesh Neuchlin are the laws of Yerusha, the laws of Nachlis. What's the makar to dinei Nachlis in the Torah? So the Torah actually talks about it in two places, in Parshas Pinchas and in Parshas Maaseh. They're both in the same general context, discussing the Benois Tzlafchot. So Ruba Deruba of the Mishpatei HaTorah are presented as laws. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai Umesara, and he gave us over all the different halachas of the Torah. Seres Hadibris, we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but all the other dinim are just mentioned in the Torah and presented to us in a very matter-of-fact way. There are some mishpatei haTorah, very few, that were presented to us with drama, with the rest of the story. One of those parshias is the parsha of Nachlis. So the Torah says as follows: Vatikravna b'nois tzlafchot ben chefer ben gilad ben macher ben menasha. So the Bnei Slavcha came, who they come to. So in the next passage we can see they came to Moshe, they came to Elazar HaKoyim, they came to the Nesiim, and they did it in a very public forum. So they come with a big ask. But first the Torah says, who were the Bnei Slavcha? So they were the daughters of Tzlafchad, that's easy. Tzlafchad was the son of Chefer. Chefer was the son of Gilad. Gilad was the son of Macher. Macher was the son of Menasha. So they're great, great, great descendants of Menashe, the son of Yosef. Either way, the Bnei Slavchad came. And this all takes place at the entrance way of the Oil Mayim. They said as follows: Avinu meis b'midbar. Our father Tzlafchad died in the midbar. And by the way, just as an FYI, He died in the Midbar. Sounds a little suspicious, right? Was he involved in the Adas Korach? So they said no. Ki bechet oimes. He died because of a chet. Ubanim loy hayuloy. And he left over no sons. Now, we are his five daughters, Machlan, Noya, Chalga, Milka, and Sirtza, respectively, but he didn't leave over any daughters. And based on that, our understanding is that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael right now. We are not going to have a portion of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the reason is because when a man dies, Yerusha goes over to his son. So Tzlofchad, our father, had a schus to Yarshin Chelik in Eretz Yisrael, but he has no sons to bequeath that schus to. And as a result, our understanding is that we're out. And their taina to Moshe Rabbeinu was, Lama yigar Hashem avinu mitoich mishpachtoi, ki ein loy ben. Why should our father have to lose out because of the fact that he didn't leave over any sons? T'no lanu achuza b'toich achi avinu. I believe that we should have a little bit of an achuza, we should get a nachlo, and we should yarshin what was coming to my father's family together with my father's brothers. Meaning, our father's brothers are going to yarshin. Had our father been alive, he would yarshin together with them. Lama nigara, why should we be any worse off? T'na lanu achuza, give us a little bit of an achuza, b'taych achi avinu. V'yakrev Moshe es mishpat l'fnei Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu hears this. And by the way, this is in a very public setting, right? Moshe is there, Elazar HaKoyin is there, the Nesim are there, Kol Ha'edah is there, and it's Pesach HaYom Moed, and Lamar. Right, this is a Lamar. This was like a whole proclamation. And Moshe Rabbeinu hears what they have to say, and he didn't know the answer. So Moshe Rabbeinu took their request, and he brought it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imre Hashem HaMoshe Lamas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and he tells him, Kain b'noi slavchad doivres. The b'noi slavchad are saying good. What does Kain mean? Targum Unkel says, Yo'us, the timing excellent. They're 100% right. Nosoin titein lohem achuzas nachla b'toich achri aviem va'avarta es nachlas aviem lohem. They should inherit their father, and whatever was going to come to their father, had their father been alive, you should now give them. V'alpnei Yisrael tadaber leimar. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, this is what you should tell the B'nai Yisrael. Ishki yamus uvein eilu. If a man dies and he leaves over no son, va'avarta es nachlas elevitoi. So then his estate, his Yerusha, should go to his daughter. I mean, if he had a son, the son would get it. But if he has no son, it should go to his daughter. Then Eloi Baas, let's say this man doesn't have a daughter. Then you should give the Yerusha to his brothers. Then Eloi Achim, let's say a man dies, he has no son, he has no daughter, he has no brothers. You should give the Yerusha to his father's brothers. V'mein achim la'aviv. Let's say his father doesn't have any brothers. Unesatim es nachalosoi l'she'eroi hakoroi velo. Then you should give it to his next of kin, his closest relative, mi mishpachtoi, from his family, v'yorash oisa, and he, that she'eroi hakoroi velo, mi mishpachtoi, is going to be the one that's going to yarshin. Now, who is this she'eroi hakoroi velo mi mishpachtoi? So in today's daf, we're going to see it's the father. Meaning, it sounds like from the Psukim, first the son Yarshins, then the daughter, then the Mace's brothers, then the father's brothers, and then fifth on the pecking order is going to be the father of the Mace himself. That's not the halacha, as we're going to see momentarily. Either way, Hashem tells Moshe, this will be the chayk. This is the way it's supposed to be. Either way, this concludes the first place that the Torah talks about the Seder of Nachlois. It happened with the rest of the story. The rest of the story was, there was a Yid whose name was Slavchad. He came from Shevet Menashe. He died. He left over no sons. And the understanding was that whatever his portion, his lot of Eretz Yisrael was supposed to be, when he was going to enter Eretz Yisrael, he was going to get it. Incidentally, exactly the way the land of Eretz Yisrael was divided when the Yid entered the land is something that is discussed in great detail in Sugyas in Perikei Shnoichlam. Meaning, it sounds like from the Psukim that Slavchad, even though he's not alive when the Yidden enter Eretz Yisrael, he has a schus to have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, he has to have someone to give it to. And as far as we know, the only person to give it to is the son. He doesn't have any sons. The Bnei Slavchad come with a Tainach, and it's Neschadish, this parsha in the Torah, which is that that if a man dies, uben ein loy, There is an idea called Yerushas Habas. Not just Yerushas Habas, but Yerushas Aviv, Yerushas Echav, Yerushas Achi Aviv, and what we know as the Parsha of Nachlas. The second time this is mentioned is in Parshas Maaseh. It's actually Shvi and Mafter of Parshas Maaseh. It's the very, very, very end of Sefer Bamidbar. The pasuk says as follows. We'll go through this pasukim quickly. Vayikrivu Rosh Ha'avos leMishpachas Bnei Gilad Ben Machir Ben Menashe miMishpachos Bnei Yosef vayidabru lefnei Moshe lefnei Asiim Rosh Ha'avos lebnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nesiim, the Rosh Ha'avos lebnei Yisrael, they get a visit, and the visit is from the chieftains, the leaders, the Rosh Ha'avos from the family of Gilad, who was the son of Machir, who was the son of Menashe, who was the son of Yosef HaTzadik. So there's a very important group of Yidden from Shevet Menashe, specifically Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe, that arrive at the doorstep of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Supreme Court of Klal Yisrael. Vayoimru, and they say as follows. Es Adoin Yitziv HaShem, Losei Sesa Oretz ben Nachla Begoril of Nei Yisrael. Vadoin Yitziv HaShem, Losei Ses Nachlas Tzlofchot Achinu Liv Noisav. We know that we're going to enter the land soon. And, of course, per instructions that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were told that the land's going to be divided amongst all the Jews. Not just that. You also said that the Bnois Tzlofchad are going to get a portion, even though they're women and their father is not alive. But based on the Parsha of Nachlis that was discussed in Parshas Pinchas, you said that the Bnois Tzlofchad are going to get a Yerusha. We have a problem with this. Say these chashuvim of Shevet Menashe. You know why? Because v'hoyu le'echa b'mnei shiftei b'nei Yisrael le'nashem. What happens if the b'nei Slavchad get married and they marry people from a different Shevet? What's going to happen then if and when they die? Their husbands are going to yarshen them, or their sons are, for sure, going to yarshen them. Their sons belong to a different Shevet. And as a result, this chelik that really is supposed to be in chelik Menashe, in chelik Yosef, is going to end up transferring over to a different shevet. V'nigra nachlas on minachlas aviseinu. V'noisaf al nachlas hamata asher tiyenu lohem. We're going to end up losing this nachla, and it's going to go to which nachla? It's going to go to the mata asher tiyenu lohem, whatever shevet they're going to marry into. U'migoro nachlaseinu yigareya. But we're going to lose a very important piece of property. And they added to that, he said, "V'miyah ha'yovel l'vnei Yisrael." And even when Yovel's going to come, "V'nois v'nachlos v'nachlos amata shetiyanu lehem yunachlos matia." Obviously, you go nachlos. Meaning, they were bavarning a very important point. Maybe it's going to be unwound once Yovel comes, anyways. So that they said, "No, we know that Yovel undoes mechirais, but it doesn't undo nachlos." So this is something that's going to be forever. So the b'nois slavchad are going to get a Yerusha, which is part of the global chelik that belongs to Shevet Menashe. They're going to marry someone from Shevet Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, whatever. And then they're going to die. The sons or the husband are going to yarshin. And forever, even past Yovel, it's now going to end up in another. And they're worried about the gross square footage that they're supposed to end up getting. This was the taina that the Chevra came to Moshe Rabbeinu with. Vayitzav Moshe es b'nei Yisrael al pi Hashem leimor. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds, and he responds al pi Hashem, the pasuk says, and he said, Kain mate b'nei Yosef doivrim. Says Unkelus, what does Cain mean? Yo'us. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe regarding the B'nai Slavchad, again, the tiny God. The tiny God, it's an excellent. The B'nai Slavchad with tiny God, they deserve a chelik. Aber L'maisa, the other side, is also saying good. Elu ve'elu, divrei lekim chayim. Literally, they're both saying very good. Zeh hadov ha'shatzi v'Hashem, l'B'nai Slavchad le'ema. So he said, this is the way this has to work. Tell the B'nai Slavchad, La'toiv be'neim tiyenu l'noshim. You can marry whoever you want to marry. Ach, with one very important caveat, lemishpachas matei aviem tienu l'noshim. You have to make sure you're only going to marry somebody from Shevet Menashe. V'loisisayv nachal olivnei Yisrael mi matei el mato ki ish benachlas matei avos yidbeku b'nei Yisrael. Because otherwise, we're afraid that the nachla that you're inheriting now is going to end up belonging to another Shevet. The taina of the Rosh Ha'avos of B'nei Gila, B'nei Machir, B'nei Menashe. And as a result, you have to bavarn this. V'chol basi reshes nachla mi matis B'nei Yisrael, echa mi mishpachas mati aviyatia. Lisha l'man yusha B'nei Yisrael, ish nachlas avoysav. And the halacha is really that every daughter yarshins their father. And as a result, v'lo yisisav nachla mi matil, l'mati achir, kish b'nachlas yidu l'mati B'nei Yisrael. Torah is chazering this a second time. I am Rishonim, why? But the point is, since that being that the daughter Yarshin's like the Bnei Slavchot, so you have to have some checks and balance in place. And what's the checks and balance? A lav in the Torah. You have to make sure ki ish benachlas mate avoysed yidbaku. In other words, in the parsha, the Bnei Slavchad, in the parsha that a daughter Yarshins, it was Neschadish another parsha. And that is that a woman that gets married has to marry somebody from her shevet. And the reason she has to marry somebody from her shevet is because what happens if she ends up Yarshining? Then she dies and her husband from the other shevet or her sons from the other shevet are going to Yarshin her. What's going to happen is the Nachla is going to end up leaving the Shevet that it's supposed to belong to. That's a bad thing. And it's for that reason, the part two to the Parsha and Pinchas, which is that a daughter Yarshins, the Taina of the Bnei Slavchad, Yalus, they're saying very, very good, is a second Akuda. And that is, Latoy Beineim Tielen Lenoshim. Achlemishpachas Matei Avim Tielen Lenoshim. You're only allowed to marry somebody within your Shevet. Now, this halacha, by the way, not for now, another one of the inyanim that we're going to get to later in Perek Yeshnoichen, was a halacha. It was a real iser, but at the same time, it expired at some point. And this is something, again, we're going to talk about later. The pasuk continues and says, V'atiyena machla sirtza v'chagla u'milka v'noya b'noy slavchad v'b'nei doideim l'nashen. The b'noy slavchad, they heard what Moshe Rabbeinu told them, and they said, no problem. And who they end up marrying? B'nei doideim, ha-ben-dod. They ended up marrying their first cousins. They ended up marrying mishpacha. Mi mishpacha is b'nei b'nashe ben Yosef hayu l'nashen. V'atihi nachalosam al-matei mishpacha saviyem eila ha-mitzvois v'ha-mishpatim ha-shatziv ha-shem v'yad Moshe b'nei Yisrael b'abra ismoyev ha-yardin yirichoy chazak chazak v'nischazak. This is the ending of Parshas Maaseh. But either way, where's the Parsha of Nachlas? It's in two places, both in Sefer Bamidbar. First time is in Parshas Pinchas. The second time it's in Parshas Maaseh. What's the context? The context is the Bnei Slavchad. Why the two Parshas? Because really there's two elements to it. The first element is the Bnei Slavchad are saying, Loma Yugara, we should get, what, just because we're girls, that means we shouldn't be entitled? Yo'os, they're saying very good. The second part of it is, now the Bnei Yosef are coming with a Taina, and they're saying that, why should we lose out, right? Lama yigara nachlas aviseinu. We don't want to lose that out. And Moshe Rabbeinu, per the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says again, Kein mate b'nei Yosef da'ivrim. Yos, you're also saying very good. And you have this halacha that a woman was only allowed to marry somebody within her own shevet. So just one ha'ara before we start the... the perek, and that is, so the parsha began that the Bnei Slavchad come with a taina. Our understanding is that we're not supposed to yarshin, right? Our understanding is that we're on the outside looking in. But we don't think it's fair. Lama yigara, shem avinu, mitoich mishpachtoi, ki ein loy ben, t'no lanu achuza b'toich achay avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. They're saying very, very good. 100% they're right. That's the way it's supposed to be. In fact, Rashi says in Chumash, they were mechaven to the parsha in the Torah. This is the way it was always meant to be. They're timing very good. They have the schus to bring out this parsha. But the bottom line is, they're saying good, and Moshe Rabbeinu now presents to the Yidden the entire parsha of Nachlas. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there, this says, Dvar Torah, Mida Iraisa, Oivekeich, this is the Gemara. Amar Rav, Dvar Torah, Oivekeichavim Yorish Esafav. Mida Iraisa, and Oivekeichavim Yarshin's his father. Meaning, by Oivdei Kechavim, there's also a Hilchas Yerusha, there's also a Seder Nachlas. In fact, Dvar Torah, Oivdei Kechavim, Yerush HaSavah. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'chishav Im Koineo. What does it mean, V'chishav Im Koineo? The Torah says that if an Eved Ivri is sold to an Oivdei Kechavim, and then the Eved Kechavim dies, so the halach is that Eved Ivri does not have to work for the son of the Oivet Kechavim. Meaning, the Eved Ivri does not go over Beyerusha to the Oved Kechavin that owns the Eved Ivri's son. Says Rava Michlaudis LeYarsha. From this drasha, you see that be'etzim there is a parasha of Yerusha. Because if you're going to tell me there's no Yerusha when it comes to an Eved Kechavin, so it's pshita, it doesn't go over. Nothing goes over. So from the fact that it says V'chishavim Koineyu, and that's a drasha to teach me that the Eved Ivri doesn't go over, but Yerusha to the son of the Eved Kechavin. So you say Meres that be'etzim Dvar Torah Eved Kechavin Yoresh. I'm skipping a little bit. Rabbi Chiyah bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiyah bar Avin said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Oyv kechavim yarish asafet dvar Torah. Oyv kechavim yarishin his father midday raisa. The chsiv, the pasuk says, ki Yerusha le'esav nosati es harseir. Then the Gemara brings another pasuk, ki levnei loit nosati es or Yerusha. The levnei loit got or as a Yerusha. Esav got harseir as a Yerusha. These are oyv kechavim. And afilu hacha, you see, they got Yerusha, so you say meres. So there's a sugya arucha. We made a big deal about this when we learned kedushin daf yud zayin. There's a sugya arucha that discusses the dine yerusha of an oivik kechavim. Oivik kechavim yerush esavif. Rava has one makar. Rabbi Yochanan had one of a different makar. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin had a third makar, but the Gemara brings fashidin and makaris to this idea of oivik kechavim yerush esavif. So just like there's a parish of yesh noichlin when it comes to a Yisrael, there's also a parish of yesh noichlin when it comes to bnei noach. Stating that, there's a big machloikis rishonim. What exactly the halachos of the dine nachlis of oivik kechavim is? The Rambam in Hilchas Nachlis Perek Vav Halacha Tes says, Hagoy yoyresh es aviv min atayim. A guy yarshins his father min atayim. Avul shar Yerusha yseyem, manichin oysan lefim min hakam. But other than that, it's whatever the minig is. Meaning, there's one din Yerusha when it comes to a ben noyach, and that is Hagoy yoyresh es aviv min atayim. What's the makar to the Rambam? The loshon of the Gemara. Dvar atayim, oivik echavim, yoyresh es aviv. So the Rambam brings it the way the Gemara brings it. Kedar kebakoydash. Hagoy yoyresh es aviv min atayim. Avol Shari Yerushay Seyem, all the other Yerushas, that's already a whole different geshaft. If you look around in the Rishonim, almost all the Rishonim are chaylik with the Rambam. Yesh Oymrim Bekai, the Yesh Oymrim Bekai, but the bottom line is, the Rambam is a little bit of a chiddush, although he's coming from the Pshutay Shal Mikra of the Gemara in Kedushin, but at the same time, the Shitas HaRambam is that Agoy Yerush as Aviv only, as opposed to all the other Yerushas, whereas the other Rishonim are Chaylik. So I saw Rabbi Shmuel Yankif in Zeus Liyakif, here in Parshas Pinchas, he says a beautiful taitch in the pasuk. It's Pashup Shat. It's Mamish Pashup Shat. He says that according to the Rambam, yesterday we had some Pshutei Shal Mikra, or three dafen ago, but here too you have a beautiful Pshutei Shal Mikra, says the Rambam. It says Rabbi Shmuel Yankif, and that is, the Bnoi Slavcha came with a taina. What was their taina? Lama Yigara. Just because we're girls, as a result, we shouldn't yarshin. Vayom Hashem al Moshe came b'noi slavcha doivres. The b'noi slavcha are saying very good, meaning nasoin titan lemachuzas nachla b'toychachi yavim. And then the Eibusha tells Moshe, "Vel b'nei Yisrael tadabaleimar, I want you to tell the Yidden ish ki yomus uvein ein loy va'avarte bas nachlosi lebitoy." The whole parish of the nachlos. So said Rabbi Shmuel Yankif, l'shitas haRambam. The psukim, just the mavasedra version of the psukim, mamam is beautiful. Dvar Torah, the halacha is that a ben is yerush es aviv. That's the deiraisa diga parsha of the way nachlis works by bnei noach. The bnei slacha were coming before Perek Yesh Noichlin. They were the ones that brought to us, right? Delivered by the bnei slacha. They gave us the parsha of Yesh Noichlin. So as far as they knew, what did they know? They knew the parsha of Yerusha as it relates to a bnei noach, which is what that Asan Yarsh is. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going on over here? Lama Yigara, why should we lose out? The Eibishter says, you're right. So the abzundere parish of Nachlis that relates to the Yid, the Bnei Yisrael tadabalemer, gezog the Bnei Yisrael as the Bnei Yisrael haben an andere parsha. Dvar Torah, that's one Gemara in Kedushin Yud Zayin Amid Beis that goes to the very top of Yud Ches Amid Alf. That's the ganze Maisa. You know, we have 30 blad of Yesh Noichlin. Vel Pnei Yisrael Tadabra Leimor Ish Ki Yomus Uvei Neinloi Vavartem Es Nachlasa Lebitoi. And he said one beautiful Haysafa, and that is that read the pasuk. Well, bnei Yisrael tadabo lemi ishkiyam usuvein ein loy. Now, why are you starting with sivkot and beis? What's sivkot and aleph? Ishkiyamus, the son yarshins. If he doesn't have a son, the daughter yarshins. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Ish ki yamus uvein ein loy." What's if cotton base? Va'avartem es nachlas elavita. Now michlala v'atashemei ein. That if you would have a son, the son would yarshin. But the Torah never said the son's gonna yarshin. You know why? That's not miyuchit to the elbnei Yisrael to daber leimor. That the benoyach also has. The elbnei Yisrael to daber leimor is the anayah parasha for nachlas. And what's the anayah parasha for nachlas? Ish ki yamus uvein ein loy. By the Goyim, it's Hefker. Oh, but by the Yid, Vavartim, it's Nachlos Elavita. That's the new parasha of the Ve'el B'nei Yisrael to Daba Lamer. So he said, L'shitas HaRambam, the Psukim, the Pshuta Yisrael Mikra. Right? Nothing fancy, but there's nothing more geschmack than learning a Psukim in the Torah. This is the Pshuta Yisrael Mikra in the Pasuk. The B'nai Slavcha know that Ben Noach Yarshins, but only the son Yarshins the father. Kiloshin Hagemorin Kedushin Yedzayin Amidays, and like the Rambam says in Perek Vav and Hilchas Nachlis, but beyond that, there is no parasha. They feel that it's wrong. Lama Yigara, the Bnei Yisrael Tadaba Lemer, tell the Yid that you don't have Kedushin Yedzayin Amidays. You know, you have Perek Yesh Noichlin, that's a whole different Indian. And in Perek Yesh Noichlin state, Ishkiyomus of Ein Einloi, Vavartamas Nachlosi Labitoi, Vimainloi Bas, Vimusatamas Nachlosi Laechob, etc. 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 Now, one other technical, it's not technical, this is like the whole parak, but there is one other thing that we do have to mention before we start the parak, and that is, so what is the Seyda HaYerusha? That's what we're about to do for the next month, but we just have to outline it a drop in order to even start the mission. So again, we'll get into it as we move along, but in order to just have a little bit of a concept of how this works, when a man dies, there are three people that have a schus to yarshin this man. And by the way, woman as well, right? Man and woman is the same. When the difference is that a woman who's married, there's something called Yerushas HaBaal, which is a separate sugya, so it's much simpler if you talk about the man. So when a man dies, there are three people that have a schus to yarshin. His son, his daughter, and his father. Now, if you read the psukim in the Torah, it's not what it says in the Torah. If you read the psukim in the Torah, it says that the son comes first, then comes the daughter, right? Uven Eloi. That even Midin Benoyach, he has a schosin. Vavartam is nachlos elavita. It's a first son, then daughter. What does the pasuk say? That if you have no daughter, then the nachla goes to the mace's brother. If he has no brothers, then it goes to his father's brothers, which is interesting, his uncles. And if his father has no brothers, unisatam is nachlosi l'she'erei akarav elav, which we teach based on the Gemara that we're going to see in today's daf already, means the father. And if that's the case, what the Torah is saying is, it's son, daughter, brother, father's brother, father. Now, why would the father's brother be before the father? It has no pshat. And it's not true. But in the Pshut Eishol Mikra, that's a little bit what it sounds like. But in reality, number one, that's not to say there. Number two, brother and father's brother don't even have a schus to yarshin. Now, the Torah says the yarshin. We'll get to that. But they don't have a schutz atzmi in order to yarshin. The only people that have a schutz atzmi to yarshin are son and daughter and father. So how does this work? A man dies, if he has a son, the son yarshins. Let's say he has no son, the daughter, right? No, no. It says in the Torah, Uvein Ein Loi, Aleph Yud Nun, Ayin Olav, and we learn from there that it's not just the son that has a schus to yarshin, but it's any one of his tzetzoyim, v'tzetzoyi tzetzov, that have a schus to yarshin as well. So for example, if a man had a son, and lo yaleinu, his son died, so he's not alive anymore, so then the son's children would yarshin. And it doesn't matter if it's the son's son or the son's daughter. They would come and yarshin the chelik that their father would have yarshin had the father been alive. Let's say a man dies, he has no son, and his son that he had no children that are alive, but there's a grandchild, meaning it's this man's great-grandchild. Yeah, and then the great-grandchild's going to come. That's it. The point is that the son is first in line, but it's not just that the son himself is first in line. It's the son, the chol yotzei chalotzo. They are going to be the ones that are going to be first in line. The lumdus of it is that a person yarshins even when he's dead. That's the lumdus. A person is yarish bekefer. So if a man dies and he had a son, that son, although he's not alive, right? We understand that after a person dies, it's not the end of him. There's an olam ha'emes, there's an olam ha'nitzchi. He's still around. We might not see him in this world. This layer of existence may have expired, but he's very much chai v'kayim. And that person, wherever he is, Big Kever has the ability to yarshin. So he's yarshining. So that the halach is he got it. Now, he's not here to keep it, so who's going to take it? His sons are going to keep it. What if the son's not alive? Like I said, then the son yarshined him, right? There's a bunch of Yerushas going on, because then his son's going to get it. But the point is, the son comes first, but it's not just the son, it's the son v'chol yotzeh chalotzeh. In the event that a person has no son, or there's no son slash grandson, great-grandson, etc., etc., there's no one from that shalsheles of son for him to bequeath his nechasim over to. So then the Torah says, "Va'arbartavs nachlasa levitoi." Then the Yerusha transfers over from the son, and it goes to the daughter. So the daughter's going to get it not when there's no son, or no yoytzei chalotzov of the son. It's then and only then that it goes to the daughter. What does it mean the daughter gets? It's the same thing. The daughter yarshins, even if she's not alive, even if she's bekever. So let's say there was a daughter, but the daughter's not alive, and she had children, so then children are going to yarshin. And let's say those children are not alive anymore, but they had children, then their children are going to yarshin. V'chayza chalila. It's the same exact thing. Now, if you think about it, one of the anomalies that will come out in the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Nachlas, when he lays this out, he actually makes this observation. So the Rambam felt that it was worthy of pointing this out. So following the lead of the Rambam, and that is, it comes out that a granddaughter, for example, could yarshin before a daughter, right? Because if a man dies, and he had a son, who's not alive anymore, but that son has a daughter, that daughter is going to yarshin, even though the man that died has a daughter. So the granddaughter, the Rambam says, the bas habas habas saben, the great great, the Rambam has a whole geschmack in this, the great 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 granddaughter could be will yarshin before the daughter. And the reason is, even though it's counterintuitive, and really it doesn't make sense, but there's a lumdus behind it. The lumdus is that it's not she's yarshining directly from the Zayda. Snapshot, oh, my elder Zayda is more karev to me than your father is to you. That's not the Vart. The Vart is she's yarshining her mother, who yarshined her mother, yarshined her father. Oh, it's working with the Yerusha of the next of kin. When the great-grandson yarshins, when the son is not alive, it's working with Yerusha Saben. Just so happens, the Ben has been Yerush Bekever. And as a result, you want to know where the money is going. It's rather not going to the son, because Kiloi B'moise, Yikach HaKer, has nothing to do with it on the other side. And as a result, it's going to his Yerushim. But Be'etzem, who's the Yerush? The son is the Yerush. But here's the point. It's son, V'chol Yoytzeh Chalotzeh, and then it's daughter, V'chol Yoytzeh Chalotzeh. Let's say this man had no son, and he had no daughter, or he had sons and daughters, Loyal Enu, they're not alive, and there's no Yoytzeh Chalotzeh. So then it goes to his father. The father is the third person, and the father is going to be the one that's going to yarshin. Now, let's say the father's not alive to yarshin. So who goes next? So it's chayzer chalila. It's rinse and repeat. So now the father is going to be yarish bekever. Like, there's no son even to be yarish bekever, and there's no daughter even to be yarish bekever. So it goes to the father. Now the father has to be yarish bekever. Who does he bequeath it to? To his Yarshim. Who are his Yarshim? Oh, it's very simple. Son, daughter, father. That's the way every Yerusha works. So it's going to go to the father's sons. Who's the father's son? So if a man dies, his father Yarshins him. Father bequeaths it now to his father's other son. Who is that? That's the Mace's brother. So that's where you have Yerusha Sa'ach. So there's a concept of Yerusha Sa'ach, but it's not that the brother has a schus to inherit directly Ba'othin Yashar, straight from the Mace. He's getting it through his father. The father's been Yerush Bekever, and now he's being Meirish is the father to his son, and the son is the one that's going to end up getting it. Let's say the father had another son that died, but that son had a son, so that son's going to Yarshin. Because again, when we say son, it doesn't just mean son, it's grandson, it's great-grandson. What's the relationship between the Mace's father's other son's son to the Mace? It's his nephew. So then what's going to happen is the nephew is going to be the one that's going to end up getting it. So now you have a situation where a nephew is able to Yarshin, or even a great nephew could Yarshin. What happens if the man died, no son, no daughter, the father's not alive, the father has no sons or daughters to give it to, so it's going to go to the father's father, which is the Mace's grandfather. So you have a hechatim, so with the Zayda, could yarshin. Let's say the father doesn't have a father, So the father's father yarshins bekever. Father's father yarshins bekever, and he bequeaths it to his other sons. Who's his other sons? It's the mace's father's brother. That's the uncle. That's what the Torah means when the Torah says that there's a concept of unesatemes nachalosei la'acheyaviv. How does the uncle yarshin? I thought it's son, daughter, and father. Yeah. If the father had a yarshin bekever, but give it to his father, because he had no son and daughter to give it to, who had to now give it to one of his sons, that's how he's going to end up getting it. And with this cheshbon, there could be a great uncle that's going to yarshin, a great great uncle that's going to yarshin. And the Rambam, the Lashoni Azov, when he lays this out, by the way, if you want to see this super clear, look at the Rambam in Hilchas Nachlas Paragala. Right? Sometimes the clearest introduction is just the Rambam in the Yad Chazaka. So if you go to the Rambam in Paragala, right in the beginning of Hilchas Nachlas, the Rambam lays out exactly how this works. And the Rambam says that being that when it comes to Nachla, if a person dies, he has no children, the father's going to yarshin. And if there's no father and that father had no other children, his father's going to yarshin. And his father's going to end up yarshining, and his father's going to end up yarshining. Lefichach fizayis the Rambam in locha adam Yisrael she'in lo yarish. There's going to be no person in the world that's not going to have a yarish. You know why? Because it's going to keep on going father, father, father until it's going to trace itself back to Avram Avinu, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and as a result, there's no son. Who's the only person that could have no Yerush? A Ger. Why a Ger? Because Gershon is Ger. He doesn't trace himself back to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. But it's always, and the reason Ein Lecha Adam Yisrael She'ein Lo Yarshim is because of the Yerushas Av component. It's not because of Yerushas Haben, Yerushas Abbas. There are people that have no sons and daughters. It's also the Yerushas Av. And at some point, you're always going to end up going to the father and to the next father. It's not the first move. It's actually the third move. But at some point, you may have no choice but to go there. And for sure, that's the last resort. And that is a resort. And therefore, you're going to eventually find Epis Azeda somewhere that stams from someone. And as a result, you're going to end up having Yerushas. Again, if you look in the Torah seems to say that how does Yerusha work? It's son, daughter, brother, father's brother, and father, even though it doesn't say father mafurish, but father, based on the Messiah. But in the MS, that's not the way it works. In the MS, the way it works is it's son, daughter, father. But when you say son, it's son, v'chol yoytze chalotzav, it could be grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson. Then comes daughter, with her yoytze chalotzav, and then afterwards, it's going to be father. What if the father had no... The father himself works with the same exact Seder. Son, it's daughter, and then it's his father. And that's how you get to the point of Ein Lecha Adam Yisrael, She'ein Lo Yairish. It's impossible for there not to be a Yairish. By the way, Yesh Neuchlin has a lot of Yevamos vibes for a few reasons. First of all, people die throughout Perek Yesh Neuchlin. And also, you're dealing with Kroivim, and you're dealing with all these exciting cases. Not just that, we're going to see there's an idea in Yesh Neuchlin of Mishpachas of Kruya Mishpacha, Mishpachas Eim Eina Kruya Mishpacha, right? So it's only siblings from the father's side, paternal siblings, not maternal siblings, which is very much a Yevamos idea. In fact, the whole Mekar that when it comes to Yibum, it has to be Achim and O'Eim, is learned out from where? It's learned out from the parish of Nachlis. But either way, so there's a lot of commonality between the parish of Nachlis and the parish of Yibum. Definitely similar vibes. And on that note, Zokta Heilige Mishnah. Yesh Neuchlin Umanchilim. There are people, meaning there are certain relatives, where the relationship between them as it relates to Yerusha is that they're Neuchlin Umanchilim. So if one of them dies, the other will yarshin him, and he will be meirish to the other. Meaning they have a neichlin manchilin relationship. Each one can yarshin from the other, and each one could be meirish to the other. So it doesn't matter which one died and which one wants to yarshin. Either way, the laws of Yerusha are going to be in effect. V'yesh neichlin v'loy manchilin. And then there are certain relatives where it's a one-sided relationship, where one of them has a schus to yarshin the other, but that other doesn't have a schus to yarshin the one. So there are two people that are related, but in Hilchis Nachlis, only one has a schus to yarshin from the other. Manchilim and Neuleichlin. There are two people that could be related where their relationship as it relates to Nachlis is that one has the ability to be manchil to the other. Meaning, if one of them dies, he'll be manchel to the other, but if the other one dies, that other one won't have the schus to be neuchel, to be yarshin from him. Which, by the way, is the flip side of the same coin. Yesh Neuchlin v'loy manchilim is the same as yesh manchilin v'loy neuchlin. Either way, loy neuchlin v'loy manchilin. Then they're relatives, where even though they're related, but they're loy neuchlin v'loy manchilin, they have no relationship as it relates to the laws of nachas. And the Mishnah explains, elu neuchlin manchilin. The following are the groups of relatives where the relationship is that the neuchlin u'manchil ha'oves habanim. So if a man has a child and the child dies, the father has a schus to Yarshin, his son. He's Neuchel, he's also Manchel. What would be if the father dies and he has a son? The son would Yarshin the father. So the father Yarshins the son, right? We said Yerusha is son, daughter, father. The father Yarshins the son. He's a Neuchel to his son. The father is also a manchel to his son, because the son yarshins the father. If the father would die, the son would yarshin. V'ha banim es'av, right? That's the flip side of the same coin. Banim es'av is the same thing. If the father dies, the ben is neuchel from the father. And if the son dies, the ben is manchel to his father. So the father to the son is neuchel u'manchel, and the son to the father is neuchel u'manchel. And v'achem in'av, additionally, if you have two brothers that share the same father, they too are going to be neuchel u'manchel. Now, first of all, what does it mean, achim neuchel u'manchel? Because brothers can yarshin. How do brothers yarshin? So we discussed how brothers yarshin. They yarshin via the father, right? A brother doesn't have a schus to yarshin directly from his brother. It's son, daughter, father. That's the way Yerusha works. Stating that, brothers could yarshin in the event that a man dies, he had no son, no daughter. He had a father, obviously, but the father's not alive anymore, and now the father's going to be manchel to his other son, who is the Mace's brother. So then the brother's getting Yarshin, and obviously it goes both ways. Now the Mishnah says, V'achem min ha'av. Why achem min ha'av? So two things. First of all, the way Yerusha Sa'ach works is via the father. So obviously it's going to be ha'achem min ha'av. But in addition to that, there's a more general point that permeates the parak, and that is Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha, Mishpachas Eim Eina Kruya Mishpacha. So whenever you deal with Mishpacha as it relates to Nachlis, it has to be Mishpachas Av, it can't be Mishpachas Eim. Either way, these are Neuchlin U'manchilin. So who's a Neuchlin U'manchilin? It's very simple. Av es Banim, Abanim es Av, which is the same thing. V'achem min ha'av. Ha'ish es Imai. Man towards his mother, ish es ishtoi, or a man towards his wife, ubnei achoyos. So there's a whole shaila what the girsa of bnei achoyos really is supposed to be. There's a long Rashbam, and the Rashbam comes out that the girsa is bnei achoyos, not bnei achoyos, but bnei achoyos dahainu achi ha'im. So bnei achoyos of the Mishnah means a person's mother's brother. All these people are neuchlin v'loy manchilin. So a man yarshins his mother, but a mother doesn't yarshin her son. The fact that a man yarshins his mother, that's the way it is. We'll see the makaris to it. But a mother does not have a schus to yarshin her son. Mishpachas of kriya mishpacha, mishpachas aim. Even the mother herself in a kriya mishpacha. Ha'ishas ishtoi. If a woman dies, a married woman, the husband yarshins his wife, but the married woman doesn't yarshin her husband. And finally, a man can yarshin his mother's brother, but a person's mother's brother will never yarshin the man. And the reason is because a sister can yarshin her brother, just like brothers can yarshin, sisters and can yarshin as well. So a sister can yarshin her brother, and then the son can yarshin the mother. So it's possible for a son to yarshin his mother's brother via his mother, but it's impossible for the mother's brother to yarshin the son, because the only way he'd be able to do it is via the mother, and we just said the mother herself doesn't even yarshin. So if the mother doesn't yarshin, how is her brother going to yarshin? So that's the group of neuchlin v'loy manchilin. A man towards his mother, a man towards his wife, and a man towards his uncle, but which uncle? His mother's brother. Ha'isha has been a woman towards her son. Va'isha is ba'ilah, and a woman towards her husband. Va'achi ha'eim. And person's mother's brother towards the nephew, manchilin v'loy neuchlin, they could be manchil, they can't be neuchil. Right? All three of these cases are the inverse of the previous three cases. By the way, the Rashbam, when he mutchid what bnei achoyos is in the second case of the Mishnah, he said, I know it's achi o'ein. How do I know that? Look at the third case. Because the third case is the inverse of the second case. And in the third case, it says, mefurish achi o'ein. So the bnei achoyos must also mean achoyim. So all these people, they have the ability to be manchil, but they can't be neuchil. And finally, for achim in o'ein, let's say you have brothers, min ha'im. So you have two brothers, but they're half-brothers, and they're brothers because they share a mother, not because they share a father. Loi noichlin, v'loi manchilim. They can't be noichel, and they can't be manchil either. And the reason is because of the rule, because of the principle of mishpachas av kruya mishpacha, mishpachas aim, eina kruya mishpacha. Either way, so the Mishnah introduced to us the laws of nachlois, and the Mishnah did it in a very Mishnah way. Yesh noichlin u'manchilin, v'yesh noichlin v'loy manchilin, manchilin v'loy noichlin, loy noichlin v'loy manchilin. Right, there's a whole bunch of different Mishnayos and Prokim that start in this way, ayin adarim daf beis. But the point is, a whole bunch of different halachas that are introduced this way, right? This is the way you group it. And this is the way Hilchas Nachlis was grouped. Now, what was the first grouping? Yesh noichlin u'manchilin. Three examples of noichlin u'manchilin. Ha'oves ha'banim, v'abanim esha'ov, v'ha'achin min ha'av. What was the first one mentioned? Ha'oves ha'banim. A father is noichel his son, he yarshins his son, and if he dies, he's also manchel to the son. So the Gemara asks a very obvious question. Ma'ishna diktoni aves ha'ben b'reisha. Listen, ha'banim is ha'av b'reisha. You start yesh noichel that a father yarshins his son. That's the way you start the perek. It would make more sense to start the perek that a son yarshins his father. And the Gemara says for two reasons. Chada, number one, that's chulei b'poranusa le'mischalina. Why would you start a perek b'poranusa? I mean, this is a perek of yesh noichel. We understand the noise. But at the same time, you're talking about a father yarshining his son. That's an Indian of poranusa. If you look at the bottom Rashbam on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, he gives a little bit of a description of what the poranus is. But obviously, it's muvah me'elav. So why would you start that way? V'oid, and besides, says the Gemara k'tichsev. Why wouldn't the Mishnah lay out the laws the way the Torah lays out the laws? And what does it say in the Torah? Ishki yamos. Uvein Eloi, the first halacha of Nachlis in the Torah is that a son yarshins a father. So why then would the parasha of Nachlis in the Torah Shabbat Pen not follow the lead of the Torah Shabbat Pen? Now, if you had a good reason to do it, I hear, but the Gemara says it sounds like you have a bad reason to do it. So number one, it follow the Torah, right, going backwards. And number two, like, why would we start with such a peronius? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, v'tana, I did the asalei midrash chavivalei. It's because the halacha of Yerusha Sa'av Leben is something that's not before us in the Torah. And it's something that we know Midrasha. And being that we know Midrasha, it was Chaviv to him, and the Svar of Chaviv overrides these two Svaras. Because of the Chavivis that he had to this Indian, that's why he started in this way. Says, Midrasha, what's the Drasha that says that a father Yarshin's a son? Now, we went through these psukim, right, a few times in the introduction. We saw clearly, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that a father Yarshin's a son. It says the son Yarshin's the father, daughter Yarshin's the father, brother Yarshins, and the father's brother. It didn't say anywhere that the father Yarshins. Now, we said, oh, Kim L'Sheri Akkar Revelov. But that's a drasha, and this is where the Gemara is going to bring us this drasha. What is this drasha? Tanya b'nim to the Braisa, She'eroi. It says in the Torah, V'meit achim la'aviv, unesatem es nachalasi l'she'eroi, hakarov elov, mi mishpachtoi. Melamed, we learn from here, she'av koidim la'achin, that the father yarshins before the brothers. Now, where do you see from here that the father yarshins before the brothers? So that's not 100% clear. And this is something that we're going to get to as we go through the Gemaras. But for now, Chazal said, all we need is that it's learned out Midrasha, that the word, ki'im l'sheiri akar ve'ilav, is a makar that a father yarshins. And not only is it a makar that a father yarshins, it's also a makar that the father yarshins before the brother. So again, in the order of the psukim, it's son, daughter, brother, father's brother, father. Father really comes third. It's son, daughter, father. I in the Seder Apsukim, it's not like that. But from Kim She'eri Akar Ve'elov, we learn that the father yarshins, and not only that he yarshins, Abishav Koidim La'achim. He even comes before the brothers. Yochliye Koidim La'ben. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Psukim are written Shalei Kiseder, and he's before number three, which is the brother, so maybe he should be before number one, which is even the son. So the Gemara says, Talmud Loimar, it says, Kim L'She'eroi HaKaroiv, it says HaKaroiv with a Hei Ayidia, and we learn from there, HaKaroiv is Karov Koidim. Now, if you're closer, you're for sure going to come first. So on the one hand, there is a drasha in this pasuk that teaches me that the father yarshins, and now he does a yarshin, but he comes earlier than someone that was already mentioned in the pasuk, but you can't bring him so early to even yarshin before the son, and the reason is because it says hakarov, and hakarov, karov, koidim, and that teaches me that for sure the son is going to end up yarshining before him. So just to speak bal peh, what we have here is we have a drasha that says that a father yashins a son. We also know that he's going to come before someone mentioned in the pasuk. What we say is that he comes before the brother, but he doesn't come before the son, based on karev karev kaidim. No, because it's like understood that the son for sure comes before the father, but the brother not. Or, in other words, the son is a better Yerush than the brother. So if you're going to have to be makdim the father, you'll be makdim him to the lesser Yerush, not to the better Yerush. You'll be makdim him before the brother, but you're not going to be makdim him before the son, right? So you have a drasha that tells me that the father's going before either the son or the brother. By the way, what about the daughter? Maybe the daughter, so the Gemara is going to get that. It's going to be the last piece of Gemara. But for now, it's the son and the brother. So the Gemara says that the father comes before the brother. Maybe before the son, no. Karv, karv, kaidim. As if to say, the son is a better Yerush than the brother. So the Gemara says, Umaroy, the rabbi says, Haben, Ulohitzi, Asa'ach. How do you know that? Maybe the brother is a better Yerush than the son. How do you know that in Hilchas Yerusha, it makes sense that a son should come before a brother? Maybe the brother should come before the son. So the Gemara says, it's a svar. Marbani, Asa'ben. The reason I'm being Marba the son is Shekain, Kom, Tachas, Aviv, Liyaada, Ulisteyachuza. There's two parashas in the Torah where you find that a son is mamish karadavua. He's mamish like his father. What are the two places in the Torah that you find that? Number one, the parasha of Yud. So the parasha of Yud is if somebody buys an Amma of Rios, it is a mitzvah to marry her, a special type of marriage. It's called Yud. Whole sugya of how it works, a very lumdisha type of marriage. But the option of Yud is not only to the person that bought this Amma of Rios, it's true for his son as well. And the son can get married, he can leverage the nicer shifchos of his father towards the Am Evriya to allow him now to partake in this Yud. So you see, the son is come tachas aviv as it relates to Yud. That's something only the son has. The brother doesn't have that. That's a place where you find that the son is like the father. The other place is l'stei achuza. So the context over here is someone that was makdish a stei achuza. So if someone makes a stei achuza hektish, if he wants to be paid at any time, he can be paid at. If, however, the gizbra sells the stei achuza, at that point, unless he sold it back to the person that was makdish it, if he sold it out to somebody, so then the halacha is that once Yovel comes, if the field is going to go to the Kayhan. It's a very obscure halacha. If, however, the Gizbar sold it to the son of the Makdish, then when Yovel comes, it's not going to go to the Kayhanim, it's going to go back to the original Makdish. As if to say, if the Gizbar sells this field that's Hektish to the son of the Makdish, it's as if he sold it directly to the Makdish. It's as if the Makdish was paid it. Because just like when the Makdish is paid it, when Yovel comes, it doesn't go to the Kehanim. So too, if he sells it to the son of the Makdish, when Yovel comes, it's not going to go to the Kehanim. But the bottom line is that you see again that L'stei Achuza, the son is treated like that. It's not true for a brother, it's only true for a son. So you have two places in the Torah where you find that the son is mamish like the father. But Mara says, Adar Abba. I hear you just made a good argument for son. Let's make the argument for brother. Right, everyone knows that if a man dies, he leaves over no children. Who's the miyabim? The brother's the miyabim. Also, you see that the brother does have a yichus. He's the one as it relates to yibum. But the Gemara says, klum yesh yibum elo b'makoyim she'em ben. The only time there's yibum is if there's no son. So you're telling me, oh, you see brother in the parsha of yibum. You see son more than you see brother in the parish of Yibum. Why? Because if there's a son, then we don't need a brother. The whole purpose of the brother is to maybe toy for son. Me, nitla, me. The son is the ikker. Habamakim sheyesh ben ein Yibum. So the Gemara stops for 1 second. And the Gemara says, time of the ikka haipircha. Meaning, the question was, who's a bigger karev? Is it the son or is it the brother? So what did we say? We said that the son has 2 milas. What are the 2 milas? Yiyud and steyachuza. And the brother has 1 mila. What's his mila? Yibum. So Gemara says, what do you mean? The mila of Yibum is not really a mila. Because, fakir, in Yibum, mineu bay in that parish, mimakim shabasa, you see the son is even better than the brother. Let's say you wouldn't have that pircha. Time of day kahai pircha. Let's say you wouldn't have that pircha. Have a mina achadif. Sounds like you would say, okay, that's a good argument. Brother's better. Even without that pircha, I think son should still win because son has yud stei achuza kineged brother's yud. Let's say the brother argument with Yibum is better than the son's argument. It's still 2 against 1. So the Gemara says, no, stei achuza gufa mehai taima hu dekaima le latana. The reason that stei achuza, the halacha is that the son is treated like the father, is gufa based on this. It's because of klum yesh yibum Ella b'makayim she'ein ben hayesh ben ein yibam. In other words, it doesn't say mefurish in the Torah that the son is like the father with regards to steyachusa. It says it by yud, but it doesn't say it by steyachusa. What it says is that if the gizba is going to sell it to somebody else, so then the halacha is that the field by Yovel is going to go to the Kehanim. So we say, who's someone else? Coming to be Mamayit somebody. I mean, someone that's not mamish like the Makdish. Who is that? Someone that's not the son. Because the son is like the Makdish. Tain is the Gemara. Really, you could have argued, maybe it's the brother. Maybe it's the brother. Maybe Steyachuz is right. It doesn't say son Mefurish. There's a riboy to somebody. But I don't know if that somebody is the son or if that somebody is the brother. The only reason I do know it, argues the Gemara, meaning my whole makar, my whole hechrich to say this, is really based on what? It's based on the fact that I think son is better than brother. How do I know son is better than brother? Because son is yiyud. I, brother, has yibum. Oh, the teretz is klum yesh yibum ele b'makom shein ben. Ha yesh ben ein yibum. So at the end of the day, steyachuz is not an objective second makar to son. I only know steyachuz by son because of the svar, and that's why the Gemara had to bring this far. Either way, one last question. The ima sheri zeha of malamit of koydem lebas. Maybe we should learn from this riboy that teaches me that a father comes first. Not only that a father comes before the brother, maybe also that he comes before the daughter. Meaning, we said that the order is son, daughter, father. Even though when you look in the Torah, it says son, daughter, brother, father's brother, father. We said because there's a drasha that teaches me, kim l'shei akar v'elav, that really the father comes earlier. Maybe he should come all the way in the beginning. No, akar v'karv kaitim. So what's the hachra? He comes before brother, but after son and daughter. Why is it so posh that he comes after daughter? I think he should come before daughter. And by the way, if you follow through with the cheshbon of the Gemara that we just said, a daughter is not kom tachas aviv liyud. A daughter is not kom tachas aviv l'steyachuza. So based on those two reasons, I don't see why the father should not come before the daughter. So the Gemara says, why don't we formulate it as follows? Let's see it inside. We should say that Sheiroi is the father, which teaches me that the father comes even before the daughter. Now, Yochel Yaktim Leben, you would think he comes before the son. Tamadoy Me'ak Karav Karav Kaidim. But the point is, how do you know he doesn't come before the daughter? And for the Gemara, Kimin de Le'inyan Yibum, Benu Baske Adodininu, being that as it relates to Yibum, the son and the daughter are the same. At the end of the day, you find that a son and a daughter are one and the same as it relates to Yerusha, and if they're one and the same as it relates to Yerusha, they also have to be one and the same as it relates to, I'm sorry, you see that the Ben and the Bas are the one and the same as it relates to Yibum, so they have to be one and the same as it relates to the laws of Yerusha as well. So if the son comes before the father, then by definition, the daughter is going to come before the father as well. So the question is, there's a pile of raid sitting on the table. We could do it now, or we can wait a little bit. Tzviki's saying, it's Pasha, we should do it now. Okay, so so just one ha'ara to end today's daf with a little bit of machshava as it relates to the Bnei Slavcha. If you take a look at Rashi, right in the beginning of the parasha of Nachlois, Vatikravna Bnei Slavcha, Ben Chefer, Ben Gila, Ben Macher, Vatamoydin Lufnei Moshe, Lufnei Fnazar, Akoyen, and they said, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, Vuloi Hoye Betoicha Edo, Hanayodam Al Hashem Badas Koyrach, Lomba Yigar Hashem Avinu Mitoich Mishpachte. Why should we lose out? We should also get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. When the Pasuk introduces the Bnei Slavchad, so the Pasuk gives us the whole Yichus brief of the Bnei Slavchad. And Rashi is bothered. Why was this necessary? So quoting a Sefri, Zok Rashi, Lomo Nema. Why does it have to say that the Bnei Slavchad are the daughters of Slavchad, who's the son of Chefer, who's the son of Gila, who's the son of Macher, who's the son of Menashe, who comes from the Mishpach of Yosef? This is like literally a Gantz Yichus brief over here. If anything, just go up until Menashe. I don't think you should have to go past that. Eloloi Melachazok Rashi. What the Pasuk is coming to teach us is Yosef Chivei Vesa Aretz. Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vahalisem Es Atzmoisai. Yosef told his brothers, he said that, I want you to please take my bones, the Atzmus Yosef, and bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he loved Eretz Yisrael. Ubnoisav chivavu as haaretz. And his daughters, the Bnois Slavchad, great-great-granddaughters, they also loved Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar t'no lanu achuza. Ulelametcha, you know what we learn from Yisha, yukulam tzadikim, that this whole shevet of Yosef at tzadikim, and the reason is to call Misha Masov, umaisei avois of stumim, because anytime you have a shevet, where you don't really know much about them, and then you're told that this one had a milo, and it also came from another member of the family that had that same milo. This is a binyanav, and this is a gili on the entire shevet. But the bottom line is that the reason we make a big deal about the yichus of the Bnoi Slavchad is because the Bnoi Slavchad were chivavu as haaretz, and this is something they got from the Zayda Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was also chivav as haaretz. Where do you find that he was chivav as haaretz? The pasuk says, V'halisem es atzmoisai. I saw in the Tzroi Ramar, he says a very interesting thing. He says that Chazal say that the Bnoi Slavchad were chivavu as haaretz. He says, in fact, if you look at the smichas hapsukim, the different parashiyos here that's going on in Parashas Pinchas, so you follow the paper trail. This is the paper trail right before the Bnoi Slavchad. If you look at the last psukim, so the Torah talks about the Levian, and it says that the Levian, they weren't involved in the Chet HaEgel, and with the whole Indian of the Meraglim, and then the Torah talks about the Meraglim, and it says as follows. Next pasuk, what's the pasuk right before the parasha of the Bnei Slavchad? It's the parasha of the Meraglim. What was the chet of the Meraglim, says the Tzroi Ramar? The pasuk says, until they hated Eretz Yisrael. They were nimbus from Eretz Yisrael. So what's the smichas parish? The next parish is the Bnei Slavchad. Because who are the Bnei Slavchad? They love Eretz Yisrael. The Tzroi Ramar continues. He says, what's the next parasha? Right after we finish the parasha of Tzlavchad. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Alei El Haro Avorim Azeh, Urei Esa Oretz, Asher Nosati Levnei Yisrael, Veroi Isa Oiso, Venosavta Alamecha Gam Ata, Kasher Nesav Aron Ochicha. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalo 515 Tfilas, Kaminya Vezchanan. He wants to see Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he loved Eretz Yisrael so much, says the Tzroi Ramar. So he wanted to see it, but he wanted to enter it, but Eretz Yisrael told him, you're not going to enter it. But Tfilah was Poyo Mechza, you could see it. And that's this next pasuk. Alei El Haro Avorim Azeh, See, you have three parashas in the Torah that are what? Chibas Eretz Yisrael. You have the parasha of the Meraglim, that's Vayimasu Meretz Chemda, that's the antithesis. You have the parasha of the Bnoi Slavchad, and then you have the parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu seeing Eretz Yisrael, where his tefillah was Poyo Mechza, where he davens Vos Chanan. Why? Because he so badly wants to see Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because of Chibas Eretz Yisrael. So the Tzad HaShava says, the Tzor Amor, a kadmin between these three parashas, is this inyan of Chibas. This inyan of Chibas Eretz Yisrael. The emes is, if you think about it, it's a pella. Where do you see that the Bnei Slavchad loved Eretz Yisrael? I don't know, it sounds like the Bnei Slavchad just wanted land. They wanted to own a piece of real estate, right? If this was playing itself out in Uganda, they might have also wanted a piece of land, right? Mehecha Tesi, this was Chibas Eretz Yisrael. Who said that this was coming from a Havana of what Eretz Yisrael is, and we have to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? Maybe they're just looking for a safe haven. Maybe they just want a piece of property. So I found the Chassam Sofer asked the Kasha, and the Chassam Sofer, Kedarkev Bakodesh, says a Dover Nifla. The Chassam Sofer says, I'm going to tell you why. He says, when did this story happen? Chronologically, this happened right before the Yidden were about to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. He says, we know that Shevet Menashe's Shevet was divided into two groups. There was Chatzi Shevet Menashe that Yarshin in Ever HaYarden, and there was another Chatzi Shevet Menashe that actually got to go into Eretz Yisrael. He says the Bnoi Slavcha didn't come with their Taina right away. They knew this taina immediately. Mamish by the shiva, they were already thinking, lama yugara. But at the same time, they didn't come right away. And the reason they didn't come right away is because they were afraid that they were going to end up in Ever HaYarden. And they didn't want to end up in Ever HaYarden. So what did they do? They waited abyssal. They waited until Chatzi Sheva Menashe already got their half. So that half was already taken care of. They got their half. And then they came with the taina lama yugara. And if they came with the taina lama yugara, then that's a raya that why would they were coming. They were coming mitzad chibas eretz Yisrael, and because they were coming mitzad chibas eretz Yisrael, so that's the raya, that's the makar, that's the way this was playing itself out. So Dr. Chasam Sofer, you're right. It's not so much that they tainted, they wanted. Who wouldn't want a piece of land? But the var was that they waited until the other chatzin sheva menashe already got their land. That's when they entered, and because that's when they entered, so this is the raya that what they were doing. They were doing mitzad chibas eretz Yisrael. But then it says like this, and Beis Hashem will pick up the rest of this raid by the next daf, and the daf after that. There's a lot to talk about on this inyan. But this whole concept of Chibas Eretz Yisrael is a fascinating concept. What is this? They loved Eretz Yisrael. They loved it. The Meraglim Vayimasu Beretzchem. They hated Eretz Yisrael. The next pasuk is Moisofcha. They loved Eretz Yisrael. Mamash like Yosef Atzadik. He loved Eretz Yisrael. And then the next parish is Moish Rabbein was Mispal Kamiyav Eschanan. Why? Says the Tzrei Ramar. Because he loved Eretz Yisrael. You have to love Eretz Yisrael. What does it even mean to love Eretz Yisrael? Right? And just to be clear, there's certain mitzvahs that are tluyos ba'ahava. V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, that we say pamayim ba'ahava. V'haftu yecha kamoicha. V'haftim es hager. Right? There's an inyan of ahava. But you have to love Eretz Yisrael. You have to love your tefillin? No, you have to put on tefillin. You have to love leinin krishma? Medaf leinin krishma. Medaf lipobin. What's this ahava? Say it a little bit better. We know there's a machlik, is Rambam and Ramban. Is there a mitzvah ish of Eretz Yisrael? Is there no mitzvah ish of Eretz Yisrael? Right, the Rambam was moina his taya mitzvah. He didn't mention a word about Eretz Yisrael. Pella for the Rambam. The Rambam didn't say. And the Ramban in his Ashmatis, when the Ramban has his list of mitzvahs that he believes the Rambam omitted, so right away he says, he forgot ish of Eretz Yisrael. How could you forget ish of Eretz Yisrael? Right, so what's the teretz? So there's different mahalchim. Right, one mahalch is that Eretz Yisrael is so fundamental to Yiddishkeit that it's not a mitzvah if neyatzma, it underpins everything. But Kopanim, the Rambam doesn't list Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah, and the Ramban does list Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. Good, but what's the mitzvah? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Tzavonin in Eretz Yisrael. What's this inyan to love Eretz Yisrael? What does that even mean? So I'll just read you one Lashon of the Charedin, and again, we're stopping in the middle. We're mamash making a hafsak in the middle of the parish. But we're stopping in the middle. So just one maramachim, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to pick this up. And that is in Sefer Charedim. It's in Perek Nuntes. Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this Lashon. V'tzorich kol ish Yisrael l'chabev es Eretz Yisrael. Every Yid has a mitzvah to love Eretz Yisrael. V'lovoy eileo me'afsei oretz b'tshuka g'doyla. And a Yid has to travel to Eretz Yisrael b'tshuka g'doyla with incredible cheshik k'ben el cheik imoy. Like a child runs to his mother. Because the beginning of the sins of Klal Yisrael, which caused us to have a bechil, all the tzaris of Klal Yisrael comes from what? Because that night Klal Yisrael cried. And what happened on that night? What was the shayrish? Every tzarish aloi tava and any yid comes because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Churban Beis HaMikdash came because the yidin cried on one fateful night in the Midbar. And what caused that crying? It was Yan Ma'asnuba Shenemar Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. It's because they had a mios towards Eretz Yisrael. But when we're going to be oskalized, Yiksev, the pasuk says, Kirotsu avodecho es avoneo, ve'esaforu yichoinenu. V'shom nemar, it says right there in that capital, atosokum terachim tzion. Because when we're going to love Eretz Yisrael, then it's going to be atos, and he goes on page after page after page. Says the Charedim, right? Just a little context. Who's the Charedim? So the Charedim lived in Tzfas, right? He was from the Chabura of the Arizal, the Beis Yosef and the Ramak. So he's part of that Chabura. That's who the Charedim is. And he says as follows, Umatoivu manoim loshir shir yedidus asher yiseid Rabbi Yehuda Halevi oleo be'ahava rabba tchilas hashira eretz hakdoshe yekoro chamudo. And he says, Kein anu mishayim, who's us? It's from Moshe Cardavera, it's the Beis Yosef, it's the Alshach, right? Just picture, who's there? He says, we go, And we go besimcha rabba every Erev Shchoitesh. This is what we do. Umischanin in lokel. Where do we go? We go to the tzion of Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Loi. That's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Rabbi Yehuda and Shas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. And we daven and we daven. Sh'al Yigoshenu Me'aleh. And we sing the gunim because of, we appreciate it's a havas Eretz Yisrael. And it's 2 pages long where the Charedim talks about Tzarech Kolishli Yisrael. Not just to live in Eretz Yisrael, but L'chavev Es Eretz Yisrael. V'lova Ye'aleh Me'afsei Oretz B'tshuka Gedoylo K'ben Al-Cheik Ima. K'ben Al-Cheik Ima. Something that needs to be understood a little bit. Why? Why would this mitzvah be different? You have a charedin that gives you a makar. It's not just like a melitz and chazal. They loved Eretz Yisrael. They loved Eretz Yisrael. Kidben al cheik imay. The question is, what's this inyan? It's something that Tzarech Talmud. There's so much to talk about on this topic of chibas Eretz Yisrael. It's fascinating. Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. Chavivei tziyon. Ahav. Chavivos Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot of synonyms of this inyan. It's a fascinating topic. We've all heard it. Speak for myself, it's a little bit confusing. Aba lemaisa, lemaisa. It's something that Chazal talk about in so many different places, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up this raid in the coming days.